Welcome to the Middle East Report Special Edition. I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens, security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy. Those are just a few of the things that we cover. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in the Bible. And today, I am coming to you from the land of Israel, very, very close to the border of Lebanon, where there is a great amount of conflict happening. And I am at the Alma Center for Research and Education, located in the northern part of Israel. We'll get an exact location on that in just a moment. But we are so pleased to talk to the founder and president of Alma, a nonprofit organization and an independent research and education center that specializes in Israel security challenges on its northern border. Asaritz is expert on the security situation here in Israel. She has briefed hundreds of groups and forums ranging from U.S. senators, congressmen, politicians, to senior journalists, visiting VIP groups. She knows what's going on here when it comes to the security of this country and all of the challenges. Asaritz, thank you so much for joining us today. We are so honored to be here in your community here in the northern part of Israel.
Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody about Alma and what you do here at this research center.
I ended my service about a decade ago. During my service, I experienced personally issues concerning international pressure on Israel during war. I also learned that people that are coming outside of Israel hardly know anything about the security challenges up north, and I live up north. So it was important for me when I ended my service to create a platform of knowledge about Israel's security challenges on the northern borders. Of course, in the past decade since I started all of that, many things changed. This was my motivation. I was an intelligence officer, so I had a pretty good knowledge about what's going on, and I have an MA in Middle Eastern Studies. And eventually, you know, it's not only reading about these challenges, it's experiencing them because we are here. I raised my kids here and all my staff live here. Alma Center today gained the recognition thanks to the things we publish, because we learned that once you know how to search in Arabic, you find pretty good information. And this is what we do. We expose Hezbollah, we expose Iran in a way nobody did until today. The exact locations of the missiles and the tunnels and the drones. And how actually they are fooling the world with what they are doing in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Iran itself.
We are here at your center, very close to the border of Lebanon. I'm sitting in your office here. I'm looking behind me and I see a huge map that shows Lebanon, shows Syria, shows Jordan, the country of Israel. To the right of me, I can see a big screen that has the Hezbollah weapons used against Israel, and you have so much information here. And because you are an expert on what's happening, and because you are experiencing, you know, what is going on with the war here in the northern part of Israel, and we are only maybe 12 miles away from the Lebanon border, I think. Less than 12 miles, maybe 7 miles.
12 kilometers.
Yeah, it's very, very close to the Lebanon border where we are right now. There's a lot of people, Asaritz, who don't understand Hezbollah. They don't understand this terrorist organization and what they are doing. Can you just, for that person who's listening and they hear about Hezbollah in the news and they just like, okay, it's a terrorist organization, but who are they and what kind of threat are they?
First, I want to make sure that we all understand that Israel is at war in the north, not only in the south with Hamas, in the north since October 8. In October 8, Hezbollah started to attack Israel from the northern border. Today, the average is 50 attacks every week coming out of Hezbollah, meaning that Hezbollah claims responsibility for 50 attacks every week. This is pretty stable average of various trajectories and missiles, rockets, drones, whatever. What is Hezbollah? Hezbollah is a terrorist army, and I'm picking my words when I'm saying a terrorist army, because even though we used to say it's a terrorist organization designated here and there, I'm calling it an army because it has a lot of similarities with the regular army. It is not holding tanks, mostly not holding tanks, no jets or air force, but it replaced these missing parts or capabilities with rockets and missiles. And if you talk about the threat of this terrorist army, it's more than 200,000 different types of missiles, rockets, UAVs that are threatening the state of Israel. And they are hidden inside the homes or under the homes of the Lebanese in various areas of Lebanon. This terrorist army is also very much experienced in the war in Syria, in the civil war in Syria. So actually, in the past almost 15 years, Hezbollah was fighting in Syria against the rebels. It came to help the Syrian government against the rebels, and actually they won against the rebels. And I think this is the place where Hezbollah became an army rather than an organization. That's the development that it went through. It means that it developed brigades that are having commando capabilities, and their mission was someday to carry out an invasion to Israel, just like Hamas had done in the south. The difference from Hamas is that these commando soldiers are experienced in taking over a community because they had done so in Syria. They're not only trained, they're experienced. The people that are living here, Israelis, next to the Lebanese border, feel that if there was a decision in Iran or in Beirut to attack the state of Israel from the north and as well in October 7th, Hezbollah would have succeeded. It was completely prepared to do so. So that's the second threat. If I'm talking about the threats coming from Hezbollah, that's the second threat, which is not only the rockets, but also a ground invasion. Of course, the situation today is different since IDF is deployed on the border. And as I've said, this is war. So we are very busy in defense. The big question is, once there is a ceasefire, how long it will take to Hezbollah to recover from this exchange of fire that you described at the beginning? Hezbollah is not only a terrorist army. It's also a terrorist army. But the secret of the success of the terrorist army actually lies in the civilian platforms of Hezbollah, in the civilian infrastructures of Hezbollah, meaning that it is also a political party that is a member of the Lebanese government. There are ministers of Hezbollah in the Lebanese government and Lebanese parliament, of course. And it is also a social movement that provides the services, the civilian services needed for its own base. We call it the Hezbollah base population, which are the Shiite Muslims of Lebanon. And that's how this support, which is lasting now around four decades, of course, it devolved during the decades. This support enabled Hezbollah to hide its munition inside the homes or under the homes of the Lebanese.
This sounds like Gaza. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like what Hamas did, that it's so infiltrated into the people there in Gaza, similar in Lebanon, that Hezbollah has integrated itself into the government, into the civilian structure.
Yes and no. First, yes, the simple answer is yes. It sounds like Gaza. It is like Gaza. The idea of providing services to the population and that way indoctrinating your own ideology among it and that way creating dependency of the population. Ideology, by the way, the ideology of Hamas and the ideology of Hezbollah are not similar. Okay, Hamas wants to establish an Islamic state in Palestine, meaning erasing the state of Israel. Hezbollah wants to establish an Islamic state in Lebanon. Israel is one of the ways to mobilize the Lebanese. One of the ways to, okay, if we have a conflict with Israel, people will support us. So there is a difference. Another difference is that Hamas was the only one who is there politically in Gaza. In Lebanon, you have more players. In a sense, Lebanon is much more complicated because the control of Hezbollah over Lebanon is not official. It's below the surface in many ways. There is a government of Lebanon, and many people want to create distinction between the government of Lebanon and Hezbollah. But actually, it is very difficult to distinct because Hezbollah is there. And for example, you don't have a president in Lebanon in the past year and a half because they couldn't agree who will be the president. Would it be somebody who supports Hezbollah or not? And Hezbollah insists that the president will be somebody who is not acting against Hezbollah, even though there are many people who are against Hezbollah in Lebanon and think that Lebanon should have one army rather than two. Now, Hezbollah is like another army in Lebanon, but it is not loyal to the Lebanese government and it is not subordinate to the Lebanese government. It is subordinate to Iran, to the Ayatollahs of Iran. That's the main boss over there.
So much is going on in this region right now. And I want to circle back to something that you shared, you know, earlier about the 200,000 rockets. My mind continually goes to that number. How many of those rockets from Lebanon, from Hezbollah, can reach all parts of Israel? Now, we know that there are attacks coming over the northern border of Israel, but are there rockets from Hezbollah that can reach anywhere in Israel?
Yes, and not only rockets, also UAVs. So the number goes like this. Around 140,000 are mortars to short ranges. Basically can get to the areas which are evacuated 0 to 5 kilometers. What do I mean when I'm saying areas that are evacuated? I've said that the war started in October 8. 60,000 Israelis were evacuated by the order of the government since October 8. The order came a little bit later, but they all packed their suitcase right away when they saw what happened in the south. But other than the 140,000 mortars, we have thousands of rockets, 65,000 rockets that can get to a few tens of kilometers. Now, I want to make it very clear. In Israeli terms, you said that we are right next to the border with Lebanon. In Israeli terms, we are not right next to the Lebanese border. We are 12 kilometers from the Lebanese border. This has a meaning. So rockets that can get to a few tens of kilometers from the border means that they cover a third of Israel. That's 65,000. Other than that, you have a few thousand more that can cover all of the state of Israel. And within these numbers, we don't know exactly how many are accurate. Because when we speak of the threat of the rockets, we speak of a threat that goes more to quantity than to quality. These are being launched in barrages of 10, 20, 40, 100, maybe more. And it happened in the past few months. When we speak of the small, very small percentage of that may be accurate, they don't need to be launched in barrages. If Iron Dome will miss one, it can be a lot of damage.
The communities along the border of Israel right now, this very moment, are experiencing great heartache. Talk about what's going on as a result of the war that's happening here in Israel in the northern part of the country, where we are very close, but 7 miles away from the Lebanon border. How are the communities doing? What has happened since the war began with Hezbollah?
So imagine you evacuate Houston and you spread the people of Houston all over the country. And it's been almost 6 months. And the people of Houston want to know when they will be able to go back to their homes, but nobody can give them a clear answer. Now, it is worse than that. Why is it worse than that? Because the culture here is different. It's not city. There are two small towns, but most of the 43 ghost towns that I've mentioned are very small communities that the community life are very strong. When you evacuate the community, you actually diminish the community life. So gradually we see how the community disappears. And then we go to the family life. Family life in Israel is one of the keys to understand what it's like to be an Israeli. These are very strong connections. Even after we leave the nest of the parents, the family ties are very strong. Once you evacuate the people, these family ties are being broken. And so first you see how the community diminishes, and then you see the family. And 5 months now, we see divorce. We see violence in the families. People are in hotels. It sounds like a vacation. It's not, because mothers can't cook for their children. It's funny what I'm saying, right? What does that mean? But for Israeli mothers not to be capable of cooking to their children, okay, it means that you have a family of two parents and three kids. That's the average family here. They all live in the same room. Now imagine that you have to sleep in the same room with your two teenagers and a baby, for example. If each of them has different needs. What about schools? So you register them to new schools, and then you have to move to a different hotel. So then it's another new school, and you have children here that changed three schools already since the year started. Businesses. Some businesses are closed. Most businesses are closed, actually, because people were evacuated, right? So even if they get compensation from the government, when they go back, they will have to rebuild the business from scratch. There are businesses that were not closed because they are vital businesses. If you are a farmer, you will have to take care of your goats, cows, chickens, orchards. How do you do that without workers?
Life is shut down on the northern border.
Life is shut down almost completely. Those who stayed are either the farmers, or as I've said, factories that are vital. Or the rapid response forces, which I want to explain what I mean when I'm saying that. These are civilians that were drafted to reserves in October 7th, and they are drafted since then. These are Israelis that had businesses, that used to have a job, a civilian job. They are not soldiers. They became soldiers since October 7th, and their mission is just to defend the empty community. So it means that their wives or husbands and children are evacuated, but they had to stay alone in the empty community to protect it from a scenario of infiltration of Hezbollah.
As you're listening today, this is why I wanted to have Sarit with us today. Sarit Zahavi, she is the founder of Alma. She's a security expert, especially Hezbollah and what's going on in the northern part of the country of Israel, because it's so hard for all of us to understand what's going on here in this country. And that's why it's so important for you to share, you know, from your heart. And as a mother, if you can just talk briefly, I mean, you experience this often with these rockets coming in, and just recently something in your own personal family and other families that you know of where you have to get undercover when all these sirens are going off. We can't comprehend that in the United States, and we wouldn't put up with it either in the United States.
First, I want to say this is daily lives now. I used to live in a nice, peaceful town in area in Israel that people used to come to relax. All of that ended in October 7th, or actually in October 8th, as I've said. And since then, even if in my specific area there are no alerts every day, the alerts are around us. And we hear the sounds of war all the time, whether it's interceptions or hits of Hezbollah missiles or IDF artillery into Lebanon, or the jets or the drones or whatever. We hear all the sounds of war, even in the communities that are not evacuated. I myself live in a community that was not evacuated, since I live 9 kilometers from the border. So even those who are not evacuated are affected from the war. And I'll give you two examples. At the first 2 months of the war, we didn't have schools. Then they renewed the school, but in my daughter's school, the instructions of the army were not to go out in the breaks. Now imagine elementary school that the kids cannot go out to play in the breaks. They have to stay in the classroom because if there is an alert, they will have to hide inside the building. You don't even think about it. I didn't even think about it until she came and said, "Mommy, I can't bear the noise anymore." Another example is the sirens. When we hear the sirens, we have to run for shelter. We have 10 to 15 seconds to do that here. 10 to 15 seconds. Last week, I was with my little girl in the car on my way to an afternoon class. We heard the sirens. I knew we have 10 to 15 seconds. My mission as a mother is to protect her, meaning to lie on her head, actually, to protect her head. And I heard the blast before I got to her, above my head. Now, she's okay. I'm okay. But this is one of the toughest moments for me as a mother. You know, I'm kind of the expert and kind of, you can't be the cold expert when you experience this.
No, because you're a mother and you're trying to take care of your family in a war zone. And I want to encourage everybody to find out more about ALMA and what they're doing. You can just Google them. It's the ALMA Research and Education Center. You'll find that on the web. Google them. Go there. Find out more about what they are doing. You're going to find truthful information about what's happening with this war in Israel. And in the very few moments that we have left, and just real briefly, what about Iran and the octopus, if you will, of Iran and its tentacles, you know, here in Syria and Lebanon and around the world?
I am among those who believe that what is happening now is not a coincidence that Hamas made a decision. There was a strict plan of Iran to open a campaign under the name Unification of Fronts. Iran cultivated proxy militias all over the Middle East to be capable of executing this campaign. It's not a campaign of a few weeks, and it's not a campaign of a few months. It's a long-term campaign, and the idea was to eliminate the state of Israel in a gradual process and to eliminate the West presence in the Middle East. That's why you see that right after Hamas attack, Hezbollah joined in, stretching the IDF forces to the north and the south. That's why you see Houthis of Yemen joining in. That's why you see militias in Iraq and Syria joining in. This way or another, by the way. At first, they attacked mostly U.S. forces. And today, they announce every day that they are launching drones to Israel, which we don't find any evidence to that. But I believe this is what they are at least trying to do. The octopus has arms that are have independent capabilities now, but eventually they are connected to the brain. And the brain, which is Tehran, is not damaged. And Tehran is looking at Ukraine, and it sees that Moscow is not damaged as well. That's the lesson that they learn. It is looking at the capabilities that they built in the past decade in the Middle East, and they see success. It is looking at the campaign of Israel against Hamas, and they see that Sinwar is still alive. It is looking at this campaign, and they see the criticism against Israel around the globe. And they are encouraged by that.
Iran is involved in so much terrorism around the world, with her chief goal to destroy the Jewish people and destroy the state of Israel. That's their goal. We only have a few minutes left, and we have so many people who are listening right now who love the Jewish people, love Israel. What would you say to those people who love you, love this country? How can they pray for you? How can they help practically? I mean, they're thousands of miles away from this conflict. What can they do?
I think that what we have found out is that this war is not only kinetic. And if you want to win this war, we need your help. We don't need you to fight. We will do the fighting. But we need you to fight a different kind of fight. The war of information is also extremely important, and we are fighting a war of information, like Jesus became a Palestinian all of a sudden.
False narrative right there. Jesus is a Palestinian, and yet people are trying to promote that. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. In my specific field is the fact that people don't know what we are having here. And if this front will get out of control, nobody will understand what happened to Israel, that all of a sudden it is bombing in Beirut. But it will happen if we will not find a way to bring the people back to their homes. We need to find a way to bring them back to their homes safely. So what I need from people outside of Israel is to spread the word, to gain the knowledge. I spread the knowledge in my platforms in ALMA. Gain the knowledge and spread it out there. Just spread it out there, because we are fewer than those who are against Israel.
Sarit Zahaveh is the founder of the ALMA Research and Education Center. We are about 7 miles today from the Lebanon border, and Sarit is an expert on everything going on here in Israel when it comes to the security, especially in the northern part of the country, and she's a former IDF officer. She has an incredible organization here, and I just want to encourage everybody to find out more about ALMA and what they do. Again, you can Google this. It's real easy to find. It's ALMA Research and Education Center. Put that right in Google. You'll find it. ALMA Research and Education Center. And I want to thank you, Sarit, for your amazing work. And on behalf of all the listeners right now across the country of the United States, they are going to pray for you. They are continuing to pray for Israel, and they will continue to do their best to get the truth out, hopefully through programs like this, the Middle East Report, and other ways, and connecting with your organization as well so that, you know, we can get the truth out, because there's so much media bias out there right now. Thank you for your work. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you for having me.
Sarit Zahavi is founder and president of ALMA, the ALMA Research and Education Center located in the northern part of Israel. They specialize in the threats to Israel on the northern border, especially when it comes to Hezbollah and the ongoing war there in the northern part of Israel. I want to encourage you to please connect with ALMA. They are doing an amazing job of keeping you informed on what's happening in that area, especially when it comes to Hezbollah and the ongoing war that's happening right now. They provide truthful information. They provide accurate information. And you can connect with ALMA when you go to israel-alma.org. That's israel-alma.org. And if you missed that, you can just Google ALMA Research and Education Center in Israel, and it'll come up on Google, and you can get more information about the wonderful work that they are doing there and the challenges that they're facing there in the northern part of Israel. I want to encourage you to stay informed on what's happening in the land of Israel. There's so much misinformation out there. That's why I want to encourage you to attend the Israel Summit. It's a three-day conference in Nashville, Tennessee. It's coming up May 20th through the 22nd. And it's a gathering of pro-Israel advocates affirming Israel's unconditional sovereignty over the entire land. Now, a lot of people will be coming in from all over the land of Israel. There will be some people coming in from the United States as well, like former U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, the president of the National Religious Broadcasters. But other people from the land of Israel will be coming, including people from the Israeli Knesset and others who are from the land of Israel, who live in the land of Israel. They're going to bring you information that you won't hear anywhere else. You need to make plans on attending this exciting conference that's going to be happening in Nashville, Tennessee, May 20th through the 22nd. It is the Israel Summit. And if you want more details about that, visit theisraelguys.com. Theisraelguys.com. Right there, you will get all the information about the wonderful summit that's going to be happening. There is a cost for the summit. You get those details there. There's a special dinner that you can attend as well. All the details, theisraelsummit.org, theisraelsummit.org. I encourage you to please check that out. It's coming up May 20th through the 22nd in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. A podcast of the show is available wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms and at AFR.net. Thanks for listening.